The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
This is Exploring the Word from the Cove, the Billy Graham Trenton Center near Asheville, North Carolina. It's a cloudy, blustery day, but green as it can be. And it's always good to be in the mountains of North Carolina. This is Bert Harper, and in place of Alex McFarland being with me today, it's Jim Stanley.
Hey, Bert, and you know, you are absolutely right. When you think about the view that we have for this week and looking out the windows and over the mountains and the mist that's resting, the clouds that are resting on the mountaintops out there, it is absolutely gorgeous. But they have some flowers in bloom here.
Yes.
That are just beautiful. They have some different colored tulips, I believe. And then walking in today, I saw one of the shrubs had begun to blossom.
Right.
And I would have thought it was an azalea bush, but I've never seen azaleas blossom like that, so I'm going to have to find out what it was.
It was a different. I saw several. Here's, if you've never been to the Cove, they have a visitor center, so you don't have to come to the training center
right.
to go to the visitor center.
Right.
And at the visitor center, they have a beautiful chapel,
mm-hmm.
and then they have a museum that you can go through and see some things. It's not quite as complete as the one in Charlotte
right.
at the Billy Graham Museum there, bookstore. But, hey, the Cove is worth coming to if you're especially in this area.
And I would invite you, you know, in all honesty, to look at the Cove's website and see some of the different events that they have coming up throughout the year. You know our friend Todd Starnes, he's going to have his fall retreat here again this year. Alex is going to be here with some folks.
Yeah, I think it's in, well, I'm not going to say, it's in the summer. He's
right.
going to be here in the summer.
Right. And then there are some other stuff going on, so it's just going to be a great, they have a lot of great things to come and attend is what
they do.
I'm trying to work out. And so this if you've missed this one, we're going to try and keep you up to date with it. But as you...
Yep.
Our guest was walking up, and he was getting in the comfortable chair, and we didn't want him to do that. So
hey, he can't get too comfortable.
That's right.
We can't let our guest get that comfortable now.
If he gets that comfortable, we could be in trouble.
We are. Our guest today is Doug Small. Doug, brother, you've been with us several times, and it's always a joy to have you, man.
It is an honor to be back with you guys.
Well, we appreciate it and enjoy it. And is Jim and I were talking. And I know you've been in this involved. Is this the third or fourth Heart Cry? Now, I know it's Fusion this year, but it's still...
I think it's the fourth.
Fourth, okay.
All right.
Okay, I know we've broadcast three.
Uh-huh.
We can't remember if we broadcast the first one or not.
Yeah.
But we're glad here we're for this one. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's a great spirit here, brother.
Yeah.
And you're going to be preaching? When?
Actually, Glenn Shepherd and I did the early on, the priest...
Right,
thing.
You guys did it last night.
And last night, and then this morning, I suppose we have about 100 there for just a two-hour prayer meeting, and tearful praying, just passionate praying. People on their face at the beautiful chapel here at the Billy Graham Training Center, just crying out to God. And then at the very end, just around the external perimeters of the chapel, praying for the nation, praying for revival in the nation. It was a precious, precious time.
Well, I was on my way, and I think some of you guys may have been praying for us. It was raining so hard.
Praying for deliverance.
Yeah, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, driving up, and, man, we went through flooded streets and everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A four-hour trip took to close to 7 hours
yeah,
for us.
You.
But we got here, brother. Well, listen, the ministry that you're involved in is Alive Ministries, Project Pray, Kannapolis, North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Did I say Kannapolis correct?
You did.
That's
you
pretty
did.
Good.
That's
good.
Well, he agreed with you, so
I'm
guessing that he felt pretty confident in the way you had pronounced it.
I did. Okay. Well, Doug, you've been with us before, and what we want to do, again, if you don't mind, we want to – what will it take? What will it take for the church in America to turn – I'm just going to put it down. We call it awaken, you know, revive – I'm going to use an even more frank word, turn back to God.
Mm.
You know, I just listened to John Avant, and I hope you guys have him on. I hope you have a slot for him. But and he could tell this story better than I could. But he was talking about the Muslim underground church and how in Syria, other places, these Muslim seekers, these inquisitive people, are coming. And they lay out a bathtub, and they don't know the gospel, but they're drawn to the gospel. In fact, he was saying that the ISIS movement has actually created a turn away from Islamic Christianity as Islam to Christianity. And he said these people are just about willing to baptize themselves in a bathtub somewhere and say, even though I don't know anything, I'm willing to die for Christ. There is around the world a radical edge of apostolic Christianity that is emerging by people who are willing to pray and pay whatever price. They've fallen in love with Jesus. They've discovered him to be the pearl of great price. And I don't think we're there in America. It's, you know, Gandhi
desperate enough? Is that, you know, desperate?
Gandhi said that, he said, we Christians, he said, we have the greatest book in the world. It can blow civilizations apart. It's the answer to world peace, and we treat it like a good piece of literature. There is a sleepiness, a drowsiness that only the Holy Spirit can break off the church. And I think that awakening is what we need. And that awakening, you know, we've done the identification repentance. We've prayed for abortion and everything else. But the great need is to pray for our own brokenness, repentance in the church itself.
Amen. Well, when we think of what's taking place in the Muslim community, read an article, and it was well documented that, you know, the Muslims have, for lack of a better term, have invaded Europe. But guess who's being saved? Europeans or the Muslims most? More Muslims are being saved and baptized in Europe than Europeans.
Yeah, the God
that's astounding.
The
and the churches
God of
are
mission them. Has not forgotten Ishmael's line. It's just amazing. And I think, you know, if we could join this God of mission for the plans he has for this nation, America is still the crossroads of the world. If we were to see a great awakening, not just a revival in the church, we need that. But if we were to see a great awakening, it would impact the entire globe. You've got 80 to 100 million first, second generation immigrants here. And if you were to see a revival that touched the Muslim population, the Buddhist population, the Sikh and Hindu population, and the atheist, that touched the university campuses, it would set off a veritable explosion we have not seen since the apostolic era. And I think that's why the stakes are so high. And that's why a conference like this is so important. Will Graham said a few moments ago, he said, this conference, of all the conferences that come here, represent the heart of this center, revival and awakening in the church.
Well, this is the program Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley along with Bert Harper. And our guest for this segment is Doug Small. And as Bert mentioned, Doug is the president and founder of Alive Ministries. Now, Doug, this time they did it a little different with the Fusion Conference. And they asked all the speakers and most all of the leaders, the participants, four questions. All right, and Bert kind of covered the first one of those a moment ago. But the four questions that have been posed, I would ask, because I know this is what you do, is just simply, what are some of the signs of hope? Because you lead prayer, you have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have prayer teleconferences almost, where you have conference calls and you have people from all over the country join in with those. So from that, do you see signs of hope?
Well, I'm barring from all these speakers. I'm just full of this conference and we're just starting. John Evans just said a shocking thing. he says, the Holy Spirit may be moving in such a way to create another form of church. And I know I'm not using his words. I shouldn't blame him. You know, but he may be taking us to a place. He may not be taking us back to Mayberry, as one speaker said earlier. He may be taking us to a place that we've never been. And I think that's exactly right. I think that's exactly right. I think that God is on a mission to make the church a house of prayer. Mm. Right now, it's a house of praise and preaching.
Right.
It's not a house of prayer.
Right.
Well, what I'm seeing in my own denomination, and of course, I work with the PCCNA group, which is 35 denominations. I work on the National Prayer Committee, Denominational Prayer Committee, which is, I think it represents 125,000 churches. But I will be at a conference in a few months that will involve 52 European nations. I will be at a conference in a few months in South America that will involve every nation in South America. Mm. I will be at another conference later this year, that will involve 50-some nations from Africa. And what are these people coming together for? Asking this question. Can you help us create a national prayer leader for our nation? Mm. To help our churches become houses of prayer. I think we're seeing a reformation. There's a hunger like I have never seen before. Not simply prayer is prayer requests, prayer to get God to meet my needs, but prayer that is transformational, prayer that is missional, prayer that aims at bringing in the last harvest.
I want to follow up real quick with one of those. That was one that was key. Prayer that is missional. Why is that so important?
Prayer is at its heart worship.
Mm-hmm.
And at its edge, mission. And in between, God meets our needs. Now, what we've done is we've made prayer about God meeting our needs. No. Prayer begins with God. And it ends by being on mission with God. We recruit God to our mission, noble mission, but God wants to recruit us to his mission.
Lord, bless what I'm doing.
That's right. And there's rest in that mission. And he's on a mission that the name of his son, that the death of his son will not be in vain, that every tongue, tribe, and kindred will be represented around the throne. There's a great move now that by 2030, by the 2000th anniversary of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we will have reached every tongue, every tribe, every kindred. It would have taken us just 10 years ago another 100 years to get the Bible in all of those languages. But new synergy, new unity, and new platforms have come. It is estimated that by 2030, we will have the Bible or portions of the Bible in every language. We are down now to, we're counting the hundreds, barely over 1,000 significant unreached people groups. And God is helping us penetrate people groups that have never heard the gospel. And we're seeing organic church plantings. I mean, it's happening. You feel like nothing's happening. Let me tell you. It's happening everywhere around the world. It's just not happening here.
Amen. God's bigger than the United States. Did you know
he
that, Jim?
He absolutely
is. I'm glad he is.
Amen. Folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. That was Bert Harper. I'm Jim Stanley, and our guest is Doug Small. And we'll be back broadcasting live from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Training Center at The Cove. Stay tuned to AFR.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. What's the worst thing that can happen when you mention the name of Jesus? Getting people mad at you or treating you badly, although that's never happened to me. But do you know what Jesus said our reaction should be if that does happen? He used the strongest celebration term in the New Testament. Jump for joy is what he said. In place of what you might think would be your worst case scenario, he's telling you how proud he'll be if that happens, and you should be jumping for joy. When's the last time you jumped for joy? If it's been a while, maybe you should start being a bit more open with the sharing of your faith at the risk of being rejected. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of the church by moving every person you're with today and every day closer to Jesus. And if you want to know how to do that, go to ROTW.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says an eternal perspective keeps us focused on heaven, but that doesn't mean we forget about what's going on here on earth. He'll explain how to keep a healthy balance as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In Super Bowl 43, with just a couple of minutes left in the game, the Pittsburgh Steelers were marching down the field. Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback, threw the football to Santonio Holmes, and he dropped it. There's less than 1 minute left in the game. He's now got a score if they're going to win the Super Bowl. He calls Santonio Holmes' number to try to get the winning score. Santonio Holmes comes to the end of the end zone, and Roethlisberger throws in the ball. He reaches up high and catches the ball. The referee says touchdown. The reason why it was a touchdown is because two things happened. Number one, he reached high and caught it. But number two, he kept his feet firmly planted on the ground. If he would have caught it, but his feet were not on the ground, it would have been an incomplete pass. If his feet were down and in the end zone, but he didn't catch it, it would have been an incomplete pass. Because in order to score a touchdown, his feet had to be firmly planted on the ground, but his hands had to reach up high. In order for you to score the life that God wants you to live, we got to reach high to heaven while keeping our feet firmly planted on earth. So that you live out on earth heaven's perspective in time.
Tony has a powerful 10-message CD series on how to stay focused on priorities that matter. It's called The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me, I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
What a great song to come back to, because, you know, Bert, we've said this every time we've come. And I could come and cover most any conference that they wanted me to here at the Cove, and be happy to do that. But when you're here, you feel like the presence of the Lord is here.
You do. You drive up, you turn off of Interstate 40, take that road, exit 55,
right,
and then you make a left, and all of a sudden the beauty overwhelms you, and the spirit.
Right.
It's the spirit. And I found out why. They get a list of the people who's coming, and they start praying for them.
Oh, yeah. And you're met at the door with hearts of servitude. That, you know, you want to see a servant's heart, you catch any one of the people with a gold tag on that says that's a staff member at the Billy Graham Training Center. And these folks, that's what they're here for. And so, folks, this is Exploring the Word. I'm Jim Stanley, alongside Brother Bert Harper. And joining us for this period is Doug Small. And, Doug, we were talking about prayer, and I know Bert, he was very kind and let me get in a couple of questions. But he's pinned up.
I did. The key, one of the things, we're seeing things we haven't seen before in our generation.
Yeah.
Okay. That I am looking for some signs. People say signs and wonders. I've studied the book of Acts so much, and usually those signs and wonders comes in bunches, especially when the Bible is being introduced and the Spirit's being introduced to a group of people. And then it seems like they get into the Word of God. It's not saying that the miracles are not important,
right,
enough, but the Word of God becomes so important.
Yeah.
So when we talk about prayer, when we talk about the need of revival, where does the Word of God fit into that, Doug? I mean, I'm a preacher, and let me tell you, Doug Small's a preacher too, brother. That dude, he didn't shell the corn, as we call it in Northeast Mississippi.
There is an interesting dialectic in Acts, and you have to slow down to catch it. But the dialectic is between the supernatural nature of the Holy Spirit manifest in the life of the church and the supernatural character of the church that comes out of the intersection of the Word and the Spirit. So they're sharing, they're giving their, they're selling their goods, they're kind, they're moving. There's a great respect for them. The favor of the Lord is on them. But then there are these signs and wonders. There are these people that get up and walk. There's and you get this dialectic. If you have one without the other, you're not balanced. And it is that balance of the supernatural Christ-like character that imprints our heart from the Word of God and the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. You're talking, I was just in West Africa and I did a conference. We had 14 leaders come together. And one of our leaders there at the conference said he was doing some street preaching. He's a national overseer. And he said, standing some distance from me was a Muslim imam. He came to him. He said, "You're not the same guy that preached here last week." He said, "Can I talk to you?" And he told him, he said, "I started having these dreams about Jesus." He said, "I called them nightmares." he said, he told me he was the true Messiah to follow him. He said, "I didn't." He said, "And he came into my mosque as real as a human could be during the time of prayer and said, I told you to leave, leave now." And he said, "I've left my mosque, but I don't know what to do." And this man took him under his wings and began to disciple him. And immediately he began to evangelize. In 12 months, he started 12 former Muslim believer churches. Now, this is just one example of how God is moving to change the character of people. And yet there is this supernatural attestation of the Holy Spirit.
I just thought of this, guys. When I read the book of Acts, there's something about what I call frontier mission area. You know, when the gospel comes in, the signs and wonders come in bunches. Now, they don't quit, but they come in bunches when it first is introduced. In the Muslim community, it's like he's coming in, and these visions and dreams and signs, they're coming in, and God's using them. I've heard so many, Doug, of the Muslim community that's come to Christ. And I am saying half of those that I've heard, that there's a dream that precedes it about Jesus. And I find that biblical, especially in the book of Acts. I don't see any contradictory to that. Do you?
A lot of people don't know this, but if you take all the miracles of the Old Testament, they cluster in three places. They cluster at the time of the Exodus. They cluster at the time of Elijah and Elisha. And they cluster at the time of the Babylonian exile, Daniel, three Hebrew children, the fiery furnace, and those things. Why? Because the purposes of God are at risk, and God is acting in behalf of his own purposes to first redeem his people, then to revitalize his people, and finally to raise his people from the dead. Mm-hmm. After that. And every one of these are fulfilled in the life of Jesus, where you see the greatest. I think that we are on the edge of one of those times when God is going to act in behalf of his own purposes to put us back on mission. I'm actually looking for that to happen here in America.
So, Jim, we need to find God's purpose and join him and not ask God to join us in what we're doing. Would you say you heard Doug?
I did. You know, it's interesting because earlier I was talking with someone else, and that's one of the things we were talking about was the whole thing about the prayer and the purpose of prayer. And, you know, in James it talks about you have not because you ask not, but then when you ask awry. So, you know, what Bert was just saying there of getting into the purpose of God, I asked Mark, I said, how do you get people back to praying what the will of God would be? And so, Doug, I challenge you with that question because, brother, you know prayer.
Well, you get closer to the will of God by praying the Word of God than you do any other way.
Mm-hmm.
We're wishing today. We're not praying.
All right, now break that down some. We're wishing today, not praying.
Yeah.
But so you're saying we go to God with our grocery list?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're wishing, and And the only basis on which we have to ask God for anything is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We pray the promises of God, or to say it differently, we draw from the courtroom of heaven, from the estate of Christ as his bride partner in order to finish his mission. You know, there are three things, the Our Father prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, mm-hmm. thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So good prayer begins by praying yourself into the will of God, coming under the reign of God so you can advance the kingdom of God and glorify the name of God. We skip that and go right to daily bread,
right.
physical needs, and everything else. So prayer is alignment, E. Stanley Jones, with the purposes of God. And in that alignment, he then does through us what could otherwise not be done.
We can know God's purpose, okay? And then God's will, personal will for us, fits into that overall purpose. I found out, especially when I was younger, guys, I was praying, Lord, direct me and what you want me to do, where you want me to go. I wasn't thinking about the purpose that yeah. God had for me. I was thinking about his specific will for me. It became the only word I know, clearer. And I won't use the word easier because that's not the right word, but it became clearer after I found out God's purpose for me was to glorify him, to be missional for him. It gave me clarity on the direction, specific direction he has for me in his will.
That's
and
right.
I believe a lot of purpose people are missing God's specific will because they do not know and understand his overall purpose.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly right. And we get caught up in thinking that the whole of our life is pastoring a church or preaching or being an evangelist or that kind of thing. The real call is to be with him, to know him, to glorify him, and to have a relationship with him. And that's called prayer. Over an open Bible every day. And out of that, whatever mission we have, we fulfill. The horizontal comes out of the vertical. Mm-hmm. See, we pray to preach better, teach better, have a bigger church. No. Jesus actually came to the earth to pray. God wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation. He came to the earth to pray. And he begins his ministry in praying. He ends his ministry in praying. We're saved. So mess people up. You'll get calls on this. Not because Jesus died on the cross.
Direct those calls to Bert Harper.
We're saved because Jesus died on the cross. What? Praying. Right. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.
Right.
The call of a Christian's life is prayer, which is about his presence. And out of that comes mission.
Amen. I forgot who it was, guys. You interviewed too many people on the radio, and
right.
you forget who said what, Doug. Okay, so it could have been you. But we was talking about America. Why is America still thriving in some ways? We're still the richest. We still have blessings. And they were talking about the reason he believes is we're still the greatest mission-sending nation in the world. We're sending more missionaries than anyone in the world. But how many more could we send? I'm going to meddle. We may get more letters, and these can come to Jim. No, they can come to me. But churches, when they look at their budget, okay, prayer time, missional time, they seem to be some of the latter things they do. The things that are priority, the praise, the yep. music, you know, the minister that does this, the preaching, the pastor's got to preach. And the two great purposes of prayer and missions kind of, are they being left out a little
bit? So I ask pastors all the time. I say, do you have a youth pastor? Yes. You have a senior adult pastor? Yep. You have a singles pastor? Yep. Do you have a family pastor? Yep. I said, do you have a pastor of prayer? No. Do you have a pastor of evangelism? No. Do you have a pastor of discipleship? Mission? No. I said, so the biblical missional categories you've not staffed. You have then a wonderful Christian social club, don't you? You organize the church on sociological
well,
categories.
Well, Doug, it's been good to have you with us today. No, but, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. And when you look at that, it comes back to the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Yeah. And when I tell you I enjoy worship, I do. When I enjoy the preaching, I do. But those are the things. Well, we got to have new choir robes, or we've got to have new instruments, or we've got to have this, or we've got to have that. But then when we look at the prayer and the mission field, you know, we look at that as, well, that's what X donation is for. That's what Y donation is for. And I'm being careful not to call those out because I don't want to offend any individual denomination. But when you look at that, by and large, if we're sending a missionary $100 a month, we're doing good. Now, I attended a church at one time that I felt like had the right idea. What they did is they took a tithe of the tithe. They took 10% of everything the Lord blessed the church with that week in tithes and offering, and they used that to go straight to the mission field. Mm-hmm. That was that 10%.
That should be the minimum. Because in the Old Testament, the tithe was required.
Right.
And I always hear good preachers say, under grace, it ought to be more.
Right.
I agree with that, too.
Well, and it should. And so that was a starting point, though. But that was one of the only churches I'd ever had that actually had it set up to bless the mission field that way. So why don't, you know, I know a couple of churches that do have discipleship pastors. But why have a prayer pastor? Why is that important? I mean, everybody knows how to pray, Doug.
Yeah, well, that's part of our problem.
That was an easy softball, brother.
As you pointed out earlier, we are doing a lot of praying, but we're doing a lot of praying amiss.
Right.
And I don't think we do know how to pray. I don't think we know how to take the simple scripture and turn it into a prayer book. I don't think... I think so much of our praying is narcissistic, self-interested praying. Mm. And when you pray about the needs of the world, the concerns of the world, the physical stuff, the material stuff, that's worldly praying. Good praying is other world praying. It is praying out of another world. And there's resistance to it because the flesh resists dying. And so you need a coordinator of prayer to nurture people in growing prayer. A child can pray, but mature praying, seasoned intercession is something you grow in a church. You have to develop that over time. Most of our families don't pray. 4 to 9% of couples pray together. 5 to 6% of pastors pray with their spouses. 150 years ago, you would be told you couldn't receive communion in the church or have your children baptized if you didn't have the family altar. So getting us back, in a sense, to the roots of daily prayer, daily transformational prayer, this is a journey. That's why you need somebody to steward this.
Let me ask one more quick. Oh, right. It's time, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah. No, it's. I don't think we're there quite yet. I've been listening carefully. So, are we blown through it? Either way is fine with me. But folks, you're hearing some background noise, a little increase in that. One of the meetings just turned out, and so we have people walking behind us, and that's part of a live broadcast. And so we call it ambient noise.
I love it myself. Yeah. It reminds me of preaching to a live congregation.
Right. Speaking of music. There it comes.
I knew it was coming. I just was a minute ahead of time. Go ahead.
All right, folks. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Our guest is Doug Small. Brother Bert Harper's here. I'm Jim Stanley. We ask you to stick around. More coming your way live from the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville, North Carolina.
I don't like to wait. Do you? Scripture teaches us that we must wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Those are not easy words for us today. I don't like to wait. You probably don't either. But when we wait on God, there is something that is promised that can happen in our lives, and that is the presence of God Himself. revival, awakening in our lives as we learn to be still and to wait and allow God to do what He wants to do in our life. Wait for the Lord. My name is Dave Butts, president of Harvest Prayer Ministries for OneCry.com.
Could we be the people that God could use to change the course of this generation?
Join American Family Radio tonight at Fusion, a Heart Cry for Revival conference, a time of worship, prayer, and a message from Michael Catt, senior pastor at Sherwood Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia.
It may be that in this room that God finds one person that says, God, I want to be an instrument of revival. And God says, I'm looking for you.
Tonight, starting at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
My name is Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President here at American Family Association. I want to take just a moment to say thank you. Thank you for those 1.5 million of you who have signed the petition to boycott the Target Corporation. We believe that together and with God's help, eventually we'll see a new direction for Target.
Visit afa.net/target.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
The Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper along with Jim Stanley. Today we have a special guest, Doug Small. We're at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center. And just we're here with Fusion, Heart Cry. It's a call for prayer, for revival, for God to reveal to us the direction we must go. Not need to go, but must go if we're going to hear from Him. And again, we're interviewing Doug. And let me give this, Doug. If you're Alive Ministries is the name of the ministry, Project Pray. If people want to contact you, you have a website or anything people can look at? And I've asked that.
Somebody came to me this morning and said I found your 20 websites. I think there are about five. There's one that they created for me. My blog, weekly blog, goes out on that. People can subscribe to that. There's a Project Pray website. There is a live publication site, which has all of our books and training materials. There's an AmericaPray.net site that engages. Last year, it was 9 denominations in January for 21 days of prayer. And Ronnie Floyd, Southern Baptist, out in Garrison, George Wood on the Pentecostal side, Tim Hill. Evangelical Pentecostal believers crying out to God for revival for 21 days, and we'll do it again next year as well.
That's one of the things I'm seeing, the denominations working together in places separate.
Absolutely.
That's exciting to me. And that's what we do on Exploring the Word, American Family Radio. We said we're going to major on Jesus Christ. And when you major on Jesus, you're going to do all right. You're going to have some different I don't baptize that way. But listen, I tell folks, if it doesn't matter in heaven, don't make it a big deal here.
If we could come together on core theology and allow our tribal theology to stay where it is, and on task theology, mission.
Amen.
We cannot do what God's calling us to do unless we do come together.
Well, Jim Stanley's a good example of that. I don't know how many denominations he's been a part of.
And brother, I am a Heinz 57 Christian.
And he loves Jesus, and that's right. Goes with it. You said something, and we're going to have all these people calling us or emailing us about, you're talking about a wish list, so you're saying.
Hold on, I'll just go ahead. We'll man up on this one. Word@AFR.net. Okay. Word@AFR.net. Then we'll share with Doug what needs to go to Doug, and I'll send everything else to Bert.
Okay. You're talking about a prayer list. I've got a new name for most churches, the wish list.
The wish list.
The prayer list, it'll be there. And again, it's mostly for saints to stay out of heaven rather than sinners staying out of hell.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, we pray more about Lord, I don't want to go to heaven now, heal me, than we do people getting saved. Here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to do the hard work of prayer. So we use prayer requests to recruit others to pray us out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The trouble actually is designed by God to drive us into His arms. We avoid that by saying, would you pray for me? I'll give you $100. I'll send it to your ministry if you'll pray for me. Good prayer intersects with God over His word. Even in a concordance where I find my problem, in Acts 4, Daniel Henderson was talking about this morning. They were actually praying Psalm 2. They had found themselves in the Word of God, and they were collectively praying Psalm 2. You pray yourself through the problem over the Word of God. Well, this is what you said. This is what you promised. This is what you did for Daniel. This is what you said through Jeremiah. Now, give me wisdom, God. Give me endurance. You look at your problem in prayer through the lens of the Word of God. That's hard work. And so
we're to have a bias. A bias is the biblical bias.
The biblical bias.
And that is so lacking, because we've been taught from, I'm saying especially from 1960 onward, you know, that it's all about us.
Yeah,
it's about me. It's about, and not about God's purpose, and not about missional.
And that's become more pointed with each generation.
I know, and we're partly to blame because Doug and I, especially, you're a little younger, but I'm not sure what we've leaving behind, but we're trying now anyway.
There's a great story. See if I can make it very short. About the three whales that were found trapped under the ice in the Arctic Circle in 1989. They made a movie of it. And Eskimo, Greenpeace, oil riggers, redneck Eskimos, whatever, are breaking this hole up wider and trying to get these. A tanker finally cuts a path. Two whales survive. One whale dies. What's the problem? Well, whales live in one world, but they require the air of another. That's us.
Wow.
We require the air of another world.
There's another sermon illustration.
And if all of your prayer is worldly praying, it's not biblical praying. You have to escape this world, and you have to come up for air and breathe. You have to hear heaven's music and then pull it back down and live out of that.
Well, that goes back to the Garden of Eden, where God breathed the breath of God into them. And now through the Holy Spirit, He continues to do that in believers. When we think of the Spirit, He's not just this friendly ghost that's flying around.
That's right.
He is, He's supposed to permeate the very air that we breathe. And that's one of the reasons that He is in spirit form, is because God wants to continually refresh us with His breath so that we can go and do His work.
Absolutely right. And this life of the Holy Spirit is just so intricately laced in praying over an open Bible until He empowers us to let Christ be Himself in us. You know, recently I've almost stopped saying, I want to be like Jesus. I've begun to say, Lord, I want You to be Yourself in me. I want there to be so little of me that You can touch through my touching and love through my loving and care through my caring until You are seen in me and people glorify
Him. Bert, we'll provide you with a copy of this audio.
I'm taking another notepad. This reminds me, I'm an iced tea nut. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't drink coffee. I'm an iced tea nut. But what's amazing, I make the tea. It's water. I heat the water up. I drop the tea bags in. And all of a sudden, it's no longer water. It's tea.
Yeah.
Christ in me. If I warm up, heat up through the Word of God, the Spirit of God moves and causes friction. When something moves, it causes friction, which causes heat. The Holy Spirit moving in my life. What you just said, it's no longer me, but it's Christ in me.
I'm not a very smart guy, but I understand that catalytic change in chemistry is when elements combine to create something different than simply the sum total of those elements. And that's exactly that's what he's trying to do in us, that Christ is formed in us, that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And my assertion is that can't happen just on Sunday morning. That has to happen over an open Bible every day.
Well, and Bert's analogy goes right back to the essence of what you were saying a moment ago, that instead of me being more like Christ, that Christ would make himself at home in me, so we begin to take on his characteristics. Yeah. The same thing happens with Bert's tea. You know, when the tea, the water begins to take on the characteristics of that's being formed under the pressure of the heat. And it also goes back to what you said earlier, is that sometimes those trials are put in front of us so that it makes us stronger to be able to serve Christ better.
So the major part of prayer is not our words. See, the two encounters between God and man, the first encounters, man says nothing. God blesses and he sets boundaries. And the really big deal in prayer is not what we say to God, but what he might say to us. And it's this wordless transformational encounter. It's about his presence. It's about being with him. And when you make prayer about content, or when you make prayer about acquisition, or when you make it pragmatic about outcomes, and you miss his presence, his transforming presence, you become like people you hang around with. You know, peer influence is a reality. And I found that in the days that I hang out with God early in the morning and spend unhurried time with him, I'm more like him during the day.
Who was it that said, "I have such a busy day, I've got to spend the first 4 hours
Luther.
In prayer"?
Martin
Luther. Yeah.
I found this out, and this is from Bill Hybels, who pastored a church up in Indiana, one of the great
little
bus
church.
Bus ministries. But he said this. He said, "When I spend all my time in the study spirit, I've got a word from God. But sometimes when I do that and I go to the pulpit, I don't have a heart for the people. If I spend all week as a pastor out there ministering to the people, I have a heart for the people, but I don't have a word for them from the Word of God." He said the secret to the pastorate, now, not necessarily Bible teachers, but the pastorate, is to take time for both. You need to be with your people, but you got to spend time with God so you have something to give them when you got them.
It's not information, it's formation. The premier term for pastor in the Old Testament is shepherd. And that's about watching. It's about feeding, yes, it's about leading, but it's about watching. And watching is a metaphor for prayer. It's the first prayer word that shows up in the Old Testament. It's what Adam didn't do, shamar. It means to take a position in the interest of God with regard to a person, place, or thing. It's the idea of being a watchman.
So here we have, in the early church, they met to pray. And together, it was us. Today, in one of the meetings we were talking about, we talked about mold me, but it was us. They changed the pronoun from a singular to a plural.
Yeah.
How important is that to pray with others while you're praying, Doug?
In the Gospels, you see the premier model there is Jesus praying singularly, sometime with the disciples. In Acts forward, the premier model is the church praying together in some construct. Mm-hmm. And they're praying from the office of the church. Two great blessings. I said this earlier, but I went through it fast. The first is on the home, Genesis. The second is when Jesus lifts his hands and blesses them and sends them where? To the upper room. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit is the blessing that constitutes the church. And when I say to pastors, your prayer ministry moves forward on two cogs. Are the people praying at home? Is there a family altar? Are they meeting God every day? Is the church gathering for prayer not simply to pray its list of needs, but to seek God for his wisdom and direction? You know, it wasn't Peter that was left in charge of the church. It was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, someone said it's not the book of Acts. It's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
The Acts of the Holy
Spirit. When I was in college at Blue Mountain, that's what our professor said. Guys, it says Acts of the Apostles. No, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
The power of the gospel to overcome all obstacles, no matter what they are. Is that real today, too? No
Absolutely.
Matter what the obstacle
the
is?
The ghost of Jesus is loose in the church when we will respect him. And no longer confined to one body, he manifests himself in the corporate body, doing the things that Jesus did. These are the things that you'll do, greater things. If I go to the Father, then the Holy Spirit, the ghost of Jesus, I'll send you another comforter, Allos, one like me. You know,
that, in Greek, I learned that. There's another of a different kind and another the same kind.
This is
another the same kind. Amen.
He's like me.
He is like me. So when we're talking about here, we're talking about a heart cry for revival, meeting God, letting God come into us and change our lives. You're saying it's possible. It's not just a wish, but it is a possibility.
Great men of God were marked by the presence of God. Their lives were lives of deep prayer and dependence upon God. And they live today. Their legends live today. Mark every one of them. Find one that wasn't marked by the presence of God in deep times with God. They don't exist. They simply don't exist. And we're trying to make an impact today with little praying, little time with God, out of our intellect and our own ability. And that's why we're stuck in America. That's why in the rest of the world, where you see this deep, explosive prayer movement, you see this explosive church growth movement as well.
You know, I took evangelism and missions in seminary, and Lewis Drummond, a teacher at Southern Seminary, taught it, and he says there's all kinds of different things that happened in revivals and in great awakenings, but there's one thing that no awakening, no revivals ever occurred without, and that's prayer.
That's prayer.
That is the central place. The others, the individuals, and we talk about who would lead this. The individuals who God used to break out the revivals and the great awakenings, they were not known until after the great awakenings and the revivals had come. So I got a feeling it's going to be an unknown, Doug, somebody that we've not heard.
Let it be.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares, right? As long as awakening comes.
Amen. Now, as we're praying for revival for the church, as we're praying for the physical restoration of the church to be the body of Christ and to show the Spirit of Christ like we've been called to do, I have a question that I've pondered on. It may seem simplistic, so let me apologize in advance. But the church is often praying two different things, and one may be because of the prayer wish list and the other because of the prayer actually needing to be done. When we think of where we are within... It's been said we're in the last days, and there is a lot of evidence for that. We have some that are praying, Lord, come quickly, and some praying, Lord, tarry. Which of those should we be praying?
I think as the bride partner of Christ, we meet him under the huppah, and that really is the form of prayer closet in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
With our garments ready, our lamps full of oil, and we say, Lord, would you come today? But then often he gives us the missional assignment that we need to accomplish that day. And we live in the tension between, I'm ready today if you come. I long to see you today, but there's work yet to be done.
Doug, it was unfair of me to ask you that question with that short of time. This has been Exploring the Word live from the Cove here in Asheville, North Carolina. Stick around. Washington Watch is next on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.